All right, hindsight 2020. Let's make some lemonade with a little twist. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
All right, Brad, hindsight 2020, man, this has been a crazy year.
Yeah, I think that might be the understatement of your life, Jonathan. You're not normally rather understated, but I think
Jonathan,
that may have
known
been
for
it.
His understatements.
His calm demeanor and understatement.
His rare exuberance.
But yeah, I saw a post this morning from Jennifer Ma, our community manager, and it really hit home with me. And it said, it was one of these memes on Facebook, but it was very impactful. It said, plot twist. 2020 has actually been the best year of your life. You faced challenge after challenge. You've adapted and you've overcome. 2020 has forced you to grow exponentially. Don't take that for granted. Mm. And that really, it hit me. And I think in talking with you, you've said to me in passing, like, you know, obviously this has not been the year that we've wished for by any means, none of us clearly, but in some ways for you, it's been one of the best years of your life.
Wow, dude. That hits me like a fireball. I chose fireball instead of lightning bolt for obvious metaphorical reasons for our audience, you know. But no, this is true. So in March, like, kind of, we knew COVID was coming, or, you know, we saw in the media talking about it, and we saw the overseas, it was starting to become a real problem. But March here in the United States, it got real for all of us. I think it was like March 13th. I remember the day we're like, we got to go to the grocery store to stock up on beans and rice and toilet paper, apparently. Still haven't figured that one out, but that was the case. Anyways, the first time I went to the grocery store, I was stocking up on beans and rice and popsicles and pizza. Like, I don't know, comfort foods, right? And if you remember, a lot of our audience binge listens to our episodes. In many cases, they're catching up, or they're running through the archives, and maybe they're kind of listening to everything kind of unfolding. And they kind of remember there was this distinct point. I was like, you know, I'm going to lean in. I'm not going to just like give in to my fears, my doubts, my insecurities, whatever it is. I'm going to take whatever level of I can, whatever level of control that I can muster, and I'm going to apply that to my actual life. And it actually manifested in not just one distinct way, but like four or five. And I agree with Jennifer. This is my best year ever. Like, out of March, from popsicles and pizza, I went to, what do I really want to do about my health? How can I take this intention? We're talking to Dominic Tertuccio next week, actually, and he was the first one to really talk to us about this idea of this drift state. What would it look like for me to be 1% more intentional and apply that to things that I have always said are important, but my actions don't live up to what I've said out loud, my platitudes? How can I take more action? Over the intervening 6 months, let's see, so March now to, yeah, we're talking 6, 7, 8 months, I have lost and maintained that loss of 20 to 30 pounds, somewhere in that range. Right? And kept it off. I am quite literally in the best shape that I have been on the other side, or, you know, as we're starting to get to the tail end of a global pandemic. Not only that, obviously it affected the economy. It affected our business. It affected everything. I personally reskilled and retrained and added to my own personal talent stack and started not one, but two new businesses and built a skill set that was just, I had never given myself the space to explore. I feel more fulfilled right now and feel like I have more agency than I ever have at any other point in my life. And I'm confident that I'm on the right track. So I say, yeah, to Jennifer, absolutely, plot twist personally. And we're not talking about a macro level. We're not talking about society. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about all the other crap that's going out there that frankly we can't control. At a personal level, personal agency, I am absolutely having my best year ever.
That is amazing. And really, to catch the audience up, and a lot of longtime listeners know, you've talked about your health for, you know, these 4 years. And I'm curious, what do you think has changed for you mentally? Because you've talked about going back and forth with weight, and you've talked about kind of your discipline versus self-control, but it seems like something has fundamentally shifted for you, right? Like, again, you've kind of gone back and forth between, let's say, 20 to 30 pounds up and down just in the years that I've known you, but it does seem like something has shifted. And I think, just like we always talk about here at Choosify, like, so much of life and success in life is psychological. And I'm curious, like, just friend to friend, like, what do you think has changed for you?
There was a statement that you used to share with me that was really impactful for you. And I think you drew it from Tom Bilyeu, and maybe you can help me with it, but it was something about, like, what's the story you tell yourself about yourself?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's an identity statement. What do you believe about yourself? And I think historically, what I believed about myself was all based on external validation, was all based on what other people told me, was all based on what society said I should do, whatever, whatever. And being a part of this community and being a part of this process, this journey that you and I and this team and this community has been on, it allowed me to reclaim that identity statement and say, well, what do I want it to be? I'm not going to take anything for granted. You know, if it's, I just have a slow metabolism, or, you know, I'm not good at this, or I'm not good at that. We have these limiting beliefs that we carry with us, and they're so low level, we never even question them. We assume that that is who we are. And I think as I started to get more freedom and autonomy in various aspects of my life, I started questioning even the most basic statements that I never would have questioned in the past. So for instance, a lot of people have a statement, well, you're always going to have student loan debt. It's good debt. So it's not a bad deal. It's, you know, it's good debt. You're on the path. We're not going to question that. I think that was the first thing I questioned. And I give credit in many cases to Dave Ramsey for that. He helped me question that we don't need to have debt for our entire life. The next kind of little limiting question that I had was, well, you're always going to have to work. You're going to have to work up until retirement. And I give credit to people like you and Mad Scientist and Money Mustache, Frugal Woods and JL Collins. You know, people like this acted as early ambassadors and mentors for me, not through any personal interaction that I was having with them at the time, but just by demonstrating their life and sharing that was a fallacy. That wasn't true. And I could just use simple math, very, very simple math, and I could reclaim decades of my life. So now these two things that everybody just knows, well, you're always going to have student loan debt, it's going to outlive you, and you're always going to have to work, you're going to have to work to retirement. These are huge things that people just assume, and those got ripped away. And as I started pursuing that, it opened up space in other little areas of my life that I'm like, well, if I've just taken those for granted, now that's just a total lie. And I'm taking the mental fortitude that I built by having challenged that status quo, and I'm applying it to, well, you just have a slow metabolism, or, you know, it's hereditary. This is out of your control. Your parents are overweight. Your grandparents are overweight, whatever, whatever. This is just who you are. I'm like, well, what if it wasn't? What would it look like for me to tackle this problem over time? Not over a 3 or 4 week period, but just know, like, I have the rest of my life. This is a marathon. And if I can just be a little bit more intentional, this can be easy. Well, I guess simple, maybe not easy, right? I got to get those words tightened up a little bit. But, and I know I'm carrying this a long way, Brad. I appreciate you kind of giving me the floor. I'll give it back to you in just a second. Those are three little things. The next thing was, I used to be the type of person that the only way I would learn something was with if it was forced upon me. When I'm in school and I know there's the pressure of a grade, a test, or an exam, or the fear of failure, those would be the only things that would get me to motivate me to learn something that was really hard. I never visualized a future where I could just learn what I wanted to learn with a lens towards ROI, and I could build very good lines of revenue for myself. I could basically design my own future and design my own income following my own interest-led learning. That was the last piece. I didn't leverage that quite as quickly. Choosify was the first version of that, and we saw it happen. You know, the podcast really has done amazing things. Both of us know it's just been an absolutely fantastic, both mission to be a part of, but also just as a business. It's been a fantastic business model to be a part of. But I don't know if when I started, I really had the confidence that I have actually learned something here. It was more like, has lightning struck? Was this just a chance, a whim, or whatever else? Have I fundamentally learned something, or was this just random? You know, just totally happened. And maybe there's a little bit of both, but I was able to slow down on that and say, what are the skills that I've actually learned over the last 2 years that are valuable? And then I tested that again with a couple new business models going in kind of a slightly different direction, and it just worked again. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? There was no school for this. There was no college degree for this. There was no, like, this has been a process. And somewhere along the way, I went from like timid, reluctant entrepreneur to just excited, full of zest, and just, I feel like I understand the matrix, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can see that's a very long way of saying, but that's my personal development. And it all basically, you know, it's been building over the last 4 years, but this March is when I fully gave myself license to just go for it.
Yeah, that's incredible. There's so much there. I tried to furiously take notes while you're writing because I wanted to touch on a bunch of these things. I mean, first, that imposter syndrome in your case was Chooseify just right place, right time. Did you get lucky or did you actually learn something? And then to be able to prove to yourself, oh, wow, I've built skills. I've built skills that I can replicate. I've built skills that I can teach people, right? Like that's another cool aspect. You've built something that you have for the rest of your life. It, you know, it's funny. We talk about these skills, right? And you also mentioned in there like the 1% better. And to the wrong ears, it almost sounds trite, but it isn't trite. These little changes, they make a difference over time. They compound, right? We talk about compounding, the compounding power of money. But skills compound too. And life changes. These tiny little things, they compound because then you have this space. Everything gets easier, right? You talked about it truly is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, it's funny, these little things, like these little 1% betters. And I actually mentioned this past week in our fi-weekly email that just interest-led learning, which is something that you talk about all the time. So my daughter, Molly, she's 8 years old, and we, as a family, we watch MasterChef Junior. Okay. It's with Gordon Ramsay, the world famous chef. And Molly now is taking cooking classes and she is just interested. She loves food. She loves trying new things. And we were watching Gordon explain how to cook a pan-seared chicken breast. We're watching this on TV and Molly's like, I want to try that. So we found this little snippet. It was a 70 second, I kid you not, 70 seconds of Gordon Ramsay explaining this. We found it on YouTube and we just watched it a handful of times. Molly literally took notes. And the next night, the three of us, my daughter Anna was at swimming, but the other three of us were cooked this together with Molly in the lead. Jonathan, I kid you not, this was top 1% chicken. Like any restaurant in the world you would go to, you would pay $25 for this chicken dish. And now Molly, as an 8-year-old, has that skill for the rest of her life. She can cook a chicken breast like Gordon Ramsay because she had that interest.
How many people say, I can't cook? I'm not a good cook. Right now, I know if someone's listening to this, you're guilty of the statement. Like, stop on this.
Right. I promise. And that goes back to what you were saying about identity, right? And all those Tom Bilyeu quotes from the Impact Theory podcast that I have internalized over the years, right? It's, I'm the type of person that, ... And you come up with an identity statement. You get rid of that imposter syndrome. You get rid of those limiting beliefs. Like you just said, I can't cook. How many tens of millions of people go through life saying, I can't cook. I never learned. My 8-year-old daughter just watched a 70-second video of a handful of times, invested 7 minutes, literally, of her life. And she can cook a chicken breast in the top 1% now for the rest of her life, for the next 90 years. Why can't you do that in every aspect of your life? Every single aspect. If you have the option to have a limiting belief or to turn it around and say, I'm the type of person that can learn anything. I might not have whatever nonsense you want to say, like, I might not be the smartest person. You can even have a semi-limiting belief in this turn it around statement and say, but you know what? I can learn anything. And in this day and age of YouTube, you truly can learn anything. You can learn anything so easily. It's a YouTube or Google search away. Why wouldn't you have that empowering belief that I can learn anything? And again, it's not trite. These little 1% differences, they add up all the time and they just keep compounding and making your life better. And Jonathan, you said it 5 minutes ago. This might have been the single most powerful thing you've ever said in the podcast. Your identity is now, what do I want it to be? You got to reframe that to, hey, I've always had these outside forces saying, oh, you're this, you're that. But from today on, what do I want it to be? What do I want my identity to be? Who do I want to be? I mean, geez, if that doesn't light you up, I don't know what will.
Hey, this is Andrew from the Chooseify team. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to get right back to it after these quick messages.
So we got MK in the studio here with us today. I say in the studio, guys. Forgive me. It's in the virtual studio with us. Come on. Come on. Anyways, MK was supposed to be here last week, but I think she just missed us, Brad, and she's got a little more time for this baby comes, apparently.
She's back.
So anyways, MK, welcome. I saw you over there as we were kind of doing these monologues, ready to weigh in, and I just want to give you the floor for a second. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I love everything that we're talking about, right? And so many things are popping into my mind, but the one thing that, Brad, you were just saying about, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. So I've shared before on the show that I'm a runner. You know, that's what I do. That's my hobby. Not right now, 9 months pregnant, not a runner. But, you know, for most of my life, I've been a runner. And in high school, I was the slowest person on the team. I mean, by far, it was pathetic. And so one day my coach said to me, well, you need to do this. You need to do this. Look at so-and-so over there. She's doing this. She's doing this. And I said, well, I can't do that. And he looked at me and he was like, what? What was that word? I don't understand. Can you say that again? And I was like, I can't do that. And I thought, I was like, did he like have a senior moment? Like he like suddenly his hearing cut out. And then I realized what he was saying. He was like, that word is not in my vocabulary. You're going to have to talk to me with words that I understand, because can't is not a word that I understand. And that was his mindset. And that was why he was so successful. And him saying that to me has been something I've carried through for so much of my life and in all the things that I've done, whenever I've told myself, well, I can't do this, you know, I can't go for that job. I can't be the next Stephen King. I can't do this. I'm just kind of like, no, I am going to be the first MK Williams. I am going to do this, and kind of saying, well, I don't have the skills to do XYZ now, and just reframing it. And I would challenge anybody who's listening, who's thinking, well, that's easy for Jonathan to say, you know, he's lost weight, he's maintained it. You know, I can't do that. I've tried, I can't do it. Take the word can't out of your vocabulary and try and say the same phrase differently, because the moment you have to change it, where you literally cannot use that word, cannot use the word can't, your mindset really does shift, and it really does help you to redefine who you are. And maybe you're saying, well, I'm choosing to not go down the same path that he is. I'm choosing to focus on my finances right now over my health, or I'm choosing to focus on my day job over my skills for my side business. But that's a choice versus a, well, I just can't do that right now. It's kind of reframing it. So that was something that was very good for my formative high school years and has brought me through to now. So that resonated. And talking about the 1% better, and I shared this with you, Brad, because I saw it and I was like, Brad, you have to look at this. So for all the things that have been going on the past week, there have been big headlines for lots of things. One headline that I think a lot of people missed was that this past Saturday, the first person to ever attempt an Ironman with Down syndrome completed it. That is huge.
Wow.
So Chris Nikich, he was born with Down syndrome. He wasn't able to walk till he was 4. He wasn't able to eat solid foods till he was 5. And at 21 years old, he finished the most grueling one-day endurance event. It was amazing. And his mantra that he wore on his shirt for all of his training, that was on his kit, was 1% better. Because every single day, he was trying to get 1% better. And if that doesn't send chills down your spine, if that doesn't make you say, you know what, this man who was born with all these limitations applied to him, right? You know, not being able to walk, not being able to do certain things, limitations put on him by society as well, lower expectations. He has just crushed this ultimate goal. And so I would say, if you are sitting there thinking, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, like, don't limit yourself. Don't let what other people's expectations are limit you. It's life's too short. You got to just go for it. Just 1% better every day. Come on, guys. So that was such an inspirational story. I always get emotional when I see those, because I'm like, oh my gosh, they did it. And I'm also 9 months pregnant, so I just get emotional. But I couldn't believe it was such an inspirational story. And then to see that his mantra was 1% better. And I was like, you know what? You know, that doesn't directly relate to what we talk about with finances and paying off, you know, your debt and getting better. I'm like, but it does. It really does. It's that 1% every day. Little things, they really do add up. So that was me being like, I have so much to add to what you're saying. This is so great.
Yeah, MK, that is amazing. I mean, talk about chills. I quite literally have goosebumps on my arms and legs now. And something you said in there about choice. Right? That word is so critical. And I mean, that is why this podcast is called Choose FI. You are making a choice every single day to live a better life. And we think that it starts with having your finances in order, right? That's why this is about financial independence. We think everything gets easier when you have your finances in order. and you make that decision, you make that choice to not deprive yourself by saving money, but to empower yourself, to put yourself in a position where you now have the freedom to think about all these other things that truly matter, your health, your relationships, spending time on this planet, how you see fit. And, you know, you said in there, this isn't maybe directly related to FI or debt, or, but I know you were saying that kind of tongue in cheek in the sense that this is precisely what you just talked about, right? It's all about getting better in every aspect of your life and these little choices. And don't fool yourself. You can't passively go through life and expect it to get better, even taking in information, right? Like you could listen to this podcast, you could listen to that impact theory I told you about, like all sorts of wonderful, you could read books, but if you don't get up off the couch and take action, nothing is going to get better. So it comes from that choice and it comes from, all right, like Jonathan said, today is the day. What do I want it to be?
All right, everyone, we're going to go into our mailbag today. Thankfully, there are so many of you, especially over the last several months, that have hopped onto our FI weekly email list, and you've gotten in the habit of sending us your wins, but also your questions. It really makes it easy for us to put these mailbag episodes together. If you are interested in submitting your question to be answered on the show, you can either leave us a voicemail by going to choosefi.com/voicemail, or you can just hop on our email list and reply back to any of the messages that you get from Brad when he sends out his once a week newsletter. And we will take a look at those questions and see if we can incorporate it into an upcoming show. Just go to choosefi.com/start. With that being said, we've got some amazing questions for you today. This first one actually comes from Sarah. Sarah wants to know how to master financial independence if I don't have access to a 401k. And Sarah says, Jonathan and Brad, I read your book a few weeks ago, and I've been working my way through the podcast. I've also read a couple other books from the FI community, but what has me hung up is that everybody is talking about maxing out the 401k and then doing the Roth conversion ladder to get that money in and out tax-free. And while this is awesome and I want to do it, the problem comes in that my husband's a bartender and doesn't have access to a 401k at all. What would be the route you would suggest taking? He also has a side hustle, but that's only about 1/3 of our annual income. Thanks for your time. All right. So I think what we have to look here is we have to kind of go through a decision tree. We need to personalize this for Sarah, but also recognize that maybe there's a lot of people in our community that are coming from different situations that for whatever reason right now don't have access to a 401k. So we're going to try to make the answer to this as applicable as possible. So first, Brad, let's start with her husband, who's the primary breadwinner. His job working as a bartender, it does not provide a 401k. So let's talk about, we have a W-2 employee, currently doesn't have access to a 401k. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my first thought would be, how can you talk to the owners of the company or upper management or whoever it may be, depending on the company, obviously, and see about getting a 401k, right? I mean, that's something that if there is a groundswell for it and you explain why it's so important. I mean, I think that's something that people would be open to. So, I mean, that personally is where I would start. And Jonathan, I know we had Waffles on Wednesday talk about that in episode 94, right?
Yes, 94. Wow, Brad. Well done. There had to be a little prep work involved there.
Yeah, come on. I looked that up quick.
All right, awesome. But no, that's amazing. Thank you for having that. So Waffles on Wednesday. So just, I want to say, Sarah, you're not alone. A lot of people, a lot of employees, not, you know, hopefully more companies than not offer 401ks, but a lot of small businesses, for whatever reason, because the hurdles seem too big, because they just didn't get started and they haven't reverse engineered it, because it doesn't feel easy, they have not put a 401k in place. And the fact is that if you have even an employee that understands what it would look like to get one implemented and what the benefits, not just, this isn't, doesn't have to be something that's going to cost the employer more. We're not even talking about necessarily doing a 401k match where they're actually giving their employees additional money. I mean, that could be a separate conversation, but just giving the employees access to a 401k does not have to be cost prohibitive. And it's actually in many cases, it's in the employer's best interest, because if they don't have one for their employees, they don't have one for themselves. And so it's a combination of us putting a presentation together that shows them the relatively low cost combined with the simplicity of implementation, combined with the synergistic benefits for both the employees and the employer, put that package together and it can happen. And there's people that have done this in every industry. There's not a whole, you don't know about them because there's no way of really sharing it, which is why we're featuring your question today. Brad, that's probably, honestly, that's the path forward, be an advocate.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. I think, you know, just diving into some of the specific language that Sarah used here, She said, everyone is always talking about maxing out 401k and then doing the Roth IRA conversion ladder to get that money in and out tax-free. And while, I mean, it's true that this is like super attractive stuff, right? Like the goal, that amazing scenario where you put all your money in tax deferred, right? You're getting a tax benefit now into a 401k or something similar. And then you can pull it out tax-free with a Roth IRA conversion ladder. Like, man, if that isn't the best goal in the world. But I got to be honest, like such a tiny percentage of us are going to ultimately do that. So I don't mean that as a negative thing by any means. And we should all be armed with this information clearly. But I'm looking at that as a positive that, Sarah, to you, the likelihood of me doing a Roth IRA conversion ladder is very slim. I have said previously, we didn't max out our 401ks for years. I mean, we obviously put in a significant amount, but Jonathan, I don't think I maxed out my 401k until maybe the last 2 years I was at my job. So Sarah, what that is to say is there are no rules to get you to FI. You don't need to check certain boxes. There's no card carrying member status that you have to do X, Y, and Z. We can all get there on our own path. Now, obviously, perfect world, your husband has a 401k, but please don't think that you can't get started on this journey just because everything doesn't line up perfectly. So I think that kind of is my maybe little inspiring psychological side. But Jonathan, there are other options for retirement if you don't have a 401k and also if you're self-employed.
Yeah, let's spend a little bit more time before we talk about those other options on the nuance here as well. Because obviously we would like to have a 401k, especially if you're in a position where you have, like the entire path to financial independence is not predicated on a 401k, it's predicated on a savings rate. But there are tools that make it easier. And if you have a savings rate, it means you're spending less than you make, significantly less than you make. We would like to save that money in the most tax advantaged way possible. And there's some nuance there having to do with what our marginal tax bracket is in. And our marginal tax bracket has a little bit to do with the tax vehicles that we have access to, but also deductions that we have access to, child tax credits that we have access to. There's various things here. So, you know, if we're in a situation where we're a family of four, we have two kids, and we're making $60,000 a year gross, right around the first 50 to 60 of that is pretty close to tax-free after you account for the child tax credits right now, which means your marginal tax bracket is right around zero, maybe 10%, maybe 12% on the high end, in which case the 401k, although it sounds great to get your money in tax-free and have it grow tax-free and then pull it out tax-free using the Roth convert, it's largely unnecessary. What we really want to do is just get it into a retirement vehicle. Now, if you don't, because two kids, family of four, you know, that's going to cost a decent amount of money. You know, maybe your life costs $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. We don't know. But, you know, if that's the case, you probably don't have $18,000 to max out a 401k. And if you don't have $18,000 to max out a 401k, in fact, you're looking closer to like maybe we have $5,000 a year to save right now. You should probably just do a Roth IRA to begin with, which it doesn't matter what your employer's doing. And the Roth IRA is going to go in after tax, which by the way, your tax was pretty close to zero because the child tax credit accounted for most of the federal tax that you were paying. And you're off to the races. And we'll figure this out. We have longer. We're not going to wait until our employer gives us a 401k to start saving for a future. Our tax advantage play here is we're going to max out our Roth IRA. And we can put in up to, Brad, was it $5,500 this year?
I think it's 6,000 actually.
Cool. 6,000 this year. So, you know, if you're saying, well, I'm trying to save 10 this year, well, let's start with the first 5,500 in the Roth and then we'll figure out what else we need to do. That's kind of the calculation before we move to some of these other things. And Brad, you very rightly pointed out, now we've covered the Roth IRA and we've covered the four. So we can lobby for the 401k. We can take advantage of the Roth IRA. We can do both, right? In fact, you don't really have to pick, assuming that you have enough money to save to fill up both of those. In this particular situation, assuming they were able to lobby to get the 401k in place, they wanted to go with that for whatever reason. In that particular situation we just laid out, they put 18,500 or nine, I guess, Brad, is it 19,000 this year?
19,500.
It keeps going up. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
So they put 19,500 in their 401k, and then, man, they still have more left, and they're like, you know, we're going to do the Roth IRA as well. Great. Wow, you're crushing it. How many of us on $60,000 a year are saving 25K? You're impressive. Let us know. Let's highlight your story. I think that's fantastic. We need to know more about, you know, how you make that possible with two kids. That's an example for all of us. But then the next layer of this is, Brad, we said they had a side hustle, and I know you mentioned there are alternatives that we could look into that don't require an employer's permission.
Yeah. So if you have your own business, your own side hustle, you definitely have access to potential options for retirement accounts, essentially. So you can set up very, very easily a SEP IRA or a solo 401k. And there are obviously some nuances, and that would probably be an entire episode in and of itself. So we won't go into the exact details here. But Jonathan, that might be a good follow-up segment sometime. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, essentially, you do have options. And I know for myself, when I first started my online business like 7 years ago, I set up a SEP IRA. And I think at that time it happened to be through Vanguard, but you can do it through any major brokerage. And it was free to set up. I didn't need to hire a lawyer or anything to set up some plan or some such. It was really as simple as opening a normal brokerage account. So it was really quite easy. And I think the SEP IRA contribution limits are, it's a little bit of a moving target, but I think they say you can put in 25% of your income. It winds up after some slight adjustments being about 20%. But again, that's beyond the scope of this short question. But Jonathan, that's not nothing, right? To be able to put in roughly 20% of your income into a SEP IRA. And actually the solo 401ks are even better in some cases, because you can put in up to your employee side of that $19,500, like you talked about. That's the contribution limit if you're an employee. But then there's the employer side, which is essentially the match or profit sharing, or, you know, there's some different wording around it. But in essence, you can put, I think, up to 25% of your income in for the employer side. So there's a way to really put away a significant amount of money in a solo 401k. So that's all to say there are options, Sarah. And for anybody out there who doesn't have a 401k, you have options. And also, it's not required to get to FI. Sure, it helps if you're in a situation where you're in a significant marginal tax bracket and you're getting a huge benefit for this. You obviously want to put away as much as you can into tax-deferred vehicles, but this is not required. So yeah, there certainly are a lot of options.
So what I like to do with these mailbag questions is, yes, we will always come back to this content. You know, we'll update it for current tax years. We'll apply it to specific scenarios. We'll bring on experts to kind of just help us add some nuance to your questions as well. But I also want to point out for those of you that this is exactly where you are. We have covered this content before, and the episodes are still incredibly valuable. And we're going to update it this year. But I think if we're talking specifically about optimizing, you know, the simple versus the SEP IRA, go check out episode 155R. That was with Sean Mullaney. That was year-end tax planning for 2019. But the premise, the underlying calculation they're talking about is super valuable. So that would be your homework this week if this question was really pertinent to you. 94 with Waffles on Wednesday and 155R. And the quick, easy way to get access to all these episodes when you hear us mention it is just go to choosefi.com, and then it's just the 3-digit number. So, you know, in the case of 94, it's going to be 094, choosefi.com/094. And then when I said episode 155R, to be choosefi.com/155R will be the short code to take you to the website so you can listen to that episode specifically and check out the show notes for that. All right. So Sarah, if you have any follow-up questions, you know, definitely let us know. And thank you so much for weighing in. Again, if you want to submit your question, just make sure you're on our newsletter and just send us a reply. Let us know what you're working with this week, and we will figure out how we can best help you. All right. So MK, next, I believe we have a question from Connor. It was a question about investing.
Yes. So Connor wrote in and said, I'm a 27-year-old seeking some advice on how to wisely invest my savings for the future. I am debt-free and have 3 months worth of expenses sitting in a savings account. I currently live in a relatively expensive city with high rent, and I donate to a couple of charities on a monthly basis, so my expenses represent about 80% of my income each month. I contribute 5% to my employer's 401k plan. They match that 5%, so I'm trying to decide what to do with the remaining 15%. I am considering putting away 10% each month in a savings account and putting the last 5% in a Roth IRA and some other index account or ETF. I'm not sure if it makes sense to have a 401k and a Roth account, or if this percentage breakdown between retirement and savings is the optimal way to go. I am very new to all this stuff, so any input helps. Thank you.
You know, it's funny, Brad, I'm going to give you the floor on this, but specifically, he's asking about the nuance between a 401k and a Roth 401k. And I happen to know, because I have insider information that our audience isn't privy to, that we speaking of Sean Mulaney, just spoke to Sean Mulaney. We have it recorded. It's going to be coming up on an episode in the next couple of weeks talking about the nuance between a 401k and a Roth 401k. And I will say that the one thing that came through loud and clear is the Roth 401k is a relatively new product in terms of its availability. It may have been around for a while, but most companies did not offer it as a solution. And now it's becoming much more commonplace where it really is just that. You work for a company that has a 401k. Many, most, more than 50% have the alternative for a Roth 401k. It's an important conversation to have. And I would just say with that particular portion of this question, just stay tuned, stay subscribed. It'll be coming over within the next month and you'll know it when it happens. And we dive into it in depth. So Brad, I don't expect you, I'm going to put this back on you as the reluctant accountant. I don't expect you to really nail all the nuance of the Roth 401k versus the 401k, but there was a lot more here in terms of, I have a percentage of savings. What should I do with it? What struck you first and foremost?
Yeah. So first, Connor is obviously doing great. 27 years old, have 3 months of expenses sitting in a savings account, has that emergency fund, has a 20% savings rate plus the 5% employer match, which clearly counts. You can essentially say this is a 25% savings rate.
I know there's some statistician out there. It's like, that's not true.
Yeah.
Just let it alone. Yes. We don't care. It's 25%. Leave it alone.
It's directionally accurate. And obviously I know the math is not exactly right, but yeah. Let's suspend disbelief on the precise math for a second.
You know, I just saved you an email, right, Brad? Can we just acknowledge that I saved you an email?
Yeah, maybe 10 emails. But no, so we've got 10% going to the 401k, which is fantastic. We don't know what kind of income Connor's making. If, you know, he's in a super high marginal tax bracket, then my initial thought might be, hey, let's put more into that 401k, right? Let's try to get as much tax deferred space as we can possibly get, especially since Connor's in a situation where he's got these 3 months of expenses sitting around, right? It's not like he needed to fill his emergency savings or that he was just scraping by and, oh, let's give him the advice to max out the 401k. That would not have been my advice. I think for me, at least myself psychologically, I need to be able to sleep easy at night, and having all of my net worth in tax deferred vehicles, for me personally, does not help me sleep well, because I know that life sometimes does happen, right? So for me, I would like to have some money in emergency fund, or really what in all likelihood, what I would do is have that money invested in the stock market in a regular traditional brokerage account that was outside of a 401k or IRA, et cetera. So this is all after tax savings. Instead of having it sitting in a savings account online, I have it sitting at my brokerage account and invested in the stock market. I think that's really important, as a lot of people don't realize you can invest your savings. I know for longtime listeners of Choose a Vi that might sound obvious, but that's not obvious to most people. You have lots of different options of what you do with your savings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is such a critical thing. And honestly, a lot of people do not understand that. And there's no shame in that. I'm sure people listening to this podcast, some of them don't realize that you have options with that money. And you can very simply open up a Fidelity, Vanguard, or Schwab brokerage account and just move that money that's sitting in your checking account to that account and then invest it in the stock market. It does not have to be. And Jonathan, this is something that I've long wanted to talk about. Like, we've always talked about, and in the media, you hear save for retirement, save for retirement, save for retirement. It's this drumbeat, as if, the only reason to save money is just for retirement, not for life, right? Like, how crazy is that? Like,
save for life, man. Save for life. Give me that t-shirt.
Right? Save for life. Save for FI. Save for freedom and autonomy. Save for all of these things. You don't have to spend every dollar, right? And it's not just, hey, I've got my retirement set for when I'm 70. So to hell with it. I'm blowing every other dollar, right? Like, it doesn't work that way, right? You can save other money, and it's really important to make that distinction.
We are not going to close the deal on that one. That's just too big of, I realize I take it for granted now, but like, when you're 20 years old, you basically assume that investing is for retirement accounts only. The actual friction to open an account and get started is so overwhelming. I'll be honest with you, Vanguard doesn't make it easy. Like, I love Vanguard. You guys know how much I love Vanguard. You log on to Vanguard, it does not scream, millennials, invest with us. Like, no, it is like, are you trying to make this more complicated? Like, I get computers. Are you trying to make this more complicated? Let me just tell you to everyone out there, if you want an interface that just makes sense and you want to access in great, you know, Vanguard funds, like we always talk about, like low cost, broad-based index funds, just check out M1. We'll talk about them in the future. We have actually, we're working to highlight them more and more. Like outside of your retirement accounts, this is the single easiest way to invest in the market with a long-term buy and hold mindset that we advocate for while still getting access to low-cost, broad-based index funds. I will say that from an institutional side, Fidelity gets a better rep than Vanguard. They are much easier. So like in terms of ease of operations, Vanguard is not winning any awards. I love Vanguard. I love you guys. I love your funds. I invest in your funds. They're not winning any awards. Fidelity is remarkable. It's not amazing, but it's like compared to Vanguard, the bar is so low, it's easier. But then to get Vanguard funds, you got to pay pretty hefty commissions, which why would you? Fidelity has their own amazing funds. You could just do that. Or just M1. And we'll talk about this more in the future. I'm just saying, like, if you're a millennial, 25, 26, and you have said, I can invest my savings, like that just blew your mind. And then you go to Vanguard and you're like discouraged after 5 minutes. It's not you. It's not you. It's just, it's not fun. It doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that hard at all. We'll talk about it more on a show, but we should be getting started. We can invest our savings. You can save for a better tomorrow. You can save for a future that's uncertain. You can save for more options. Brad, I love it. You said you can save for freedom, autonomy, mastery, purpose. Save for options. This is not saving for, hey, I hope when I'm 80 years old, I have $2 million. Who cares? Who cares? Right? This is like, in my 30s, I want more options. In my 40s, I want more options. In my 50s, I better be able to do whatever the hell I want. That's the sort of mentality. When you get that, you're like, all right, what are the tools I'm going to use? Well, yeah, I'm going to use the retirement tools that my company gives me access to. But I'm not going to wait on Wells Fargo to give me a 0.01% interest rate on my savings account, which is basically worse than my coffee can at that point, and think that that's going to get me to some magical promised land where my money's earning money for me. It's just not, my friends.
Yeah, agreed. And just kind of last word here on Connor's specific question. He asked, I'm not sure it makes sense to have a 401k and a Roth account. And I think he's talking here specifically about a Roth IRA. And this also is coming up in depth in the segment that we have with Sean Mullaney coming up in the next couple of weeks. But just real quick to give a preview of that is that if Connor is talking about, hey, in all likelihood, I don't necessarily need this money. Like I would like to put it into a retirement vehicle, but I want to say, oh, you know what? Maybe I'd like to have some potential access to it. The reason potentially to have both a 401k and a Roth is that the contributions, and this is critical, the contributions that you put into a Roth IRA, you can pull out at any time, tax and penalty free. Okay. So in essence, that can act akin to an emergency fund. Now, we clearly wouldn't advocate that. Ideally, you'd like it to stay in there and compound tax-free as long as you can. But it's nice to know that in a pinch, you can pull out those contributions tax and penalty-free at any time for any reason.
All right. Again, Connor, thanks so much for the question. Get your question answered. Just be on our newsletter and just go to chooseify.com/start. Get started on your path to financial independence today. And then the goal for this is all of us to be able to celebrate our wins together. Everyone listening to this gave me a chance to kind of share a few of my wins this year. What are your wins? We're going to put a whole episode together because we're going to need more time to put together the wins of this community, a community of a million strong people that are pursuing financial independence. Think about that. How does that change your family tree, your zip code, the community, the world? This is a community of imperfect people pursuing a better life and doing it together. So what we would like for you to do is join us and publicly share your wins. How did you make lemonade? What did you do this year? Don't worry if you're listening to this and this was your wake-up call. You'll be able to share your wins with us. Maybe you could share our wins with us over the next couple months. But you'll be able to do it next year. Maybe this is twofold. It's one for you. You're like, wake-up call. Yeah, I'm not going to let external forces dictate my outcome. I'm going to take control over what I control. For those of you that had that wake-up call with us, couple years ago, earlier this year, a couple months ago, and you have something you want to share with the community, we are dedicating our end of the year episode just to highlighting your feedback, your voicemails, your wins. MK, how are we going to do that? Let's give our audience more information.
Yeah. So this year we're trying something a little different. So for those of you who remember our 2019 wins episode, it was just the three of us going as many as we could, all the wins that were sent in. But of course we had to record it ahead of time, so we didn't get everybody's wins. So this year for our year-end wins episode, we are going to be live December 8th, 2020. at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We are going to be live on Facebook and YouTube simulcast, where you, as one of our listeners, can join us and call in and actually share your win for the year live. This can be a year of wins. This can be your win is, I just found you guys on December 1st and I'm, you know, starting to save. Whatever it is, your win for the year, we want to hear it. We want to celebrate it with you. We are going to replay it as our final episode of the year. So if there's any, you know, lags, you'll get that live, but we'll cut that out for the nice polished episode that'll air at the end of the year. But we would love for you to join us. Please be there live. You know, if it's on the West Coast, you know, maybe have the screen minimized at work. but, you know, we definitely want you to be there with us, and we want to get through as many wins and hear from you instead of us just reading and trying to imitate your inflection of excitement. You actually get to be the one to say your wins and share it with us. So that's going to be really special. You can go ahead and subscribe just to get a reminder for that. The event is already on our Facebook page, so you can add that. So you can say, hey, Facebook will remind me. You can subscribe on choosefi.com/2020wins. And we will send you an email to remind you to join us live. And again, we're also going to have this simulcast on YouTube. So for all of you out there who think, oh, I don't use Facebook, guys, well, guess what? We're on YouTube as well. You can join us there. So this is going to be really fun. And I think it'll be a win for us if we can get the simulcast technology going. So that'll be the first win that we share is.
I believe we are the type of people that can figure it out.
Yes, we absolutely will. That is our anticipated win for December 8th. So we would love to hear from everybody.
And this could be the first of many actual live Choose FI podcast. I mean, there's something to that. So yeah, this should be really, really exciting. This is got to be my favorite podcast of the entire year. We've done this for a couple of years now, this year-end wins. And it's just, it is remarkable to hear what people are doing to make their lives better. So yeah, we would love, love, love for you to join us.
So MK, that is choosefi.com/2020wins.
Correct. Yep. We've already been promoting it a bit on social media. If you follow us there, it'll be in the newsletter next week as well. You will definitely see the link to this if you are part of our community. It will be hard to miss. But yes, if you are listening right now and you want to say, nope, please remind me now. I'm not going to remember. Go to choosefi.com/2020wins and subscribe. So we will send you that reminder.
This is great. And I love this. I hope you guys are excited about it and you're willing to join us. I know a lot of you check in with us every single week, twice a week. Every single episode. And those by email, you guys have done a lot of amazing stuff. And I would love to be able to share it with the community. So I hope you're there. All right. Now, last thing, speaking of wins, we do actually have some wins to share with you. Context, people each week share their wins with us via the newsletter. We pick a couple of those to share with the larger audience. And if your win is selected, we actually give you a copy of one of our books from Choosefi Publishing. We have several books that we offer. Our book, Choosefi, Your Blueprint to Financial Independence. We have a book on pensions for those of you that are in a pensionable career, one on second generation financial independence and how to raise money savvy kids, and then another one on entrepreneurships, really with a focus on adolescents and teenagers. But I mean, it's a really phenomenal workbook really for any aspiring entrepreneur just to help you think through how to craft a business. So to enter the drawing, all you need to do is be a part of our newsletter. Just go to choosefi.com/start, get on our email list. You'll get access to our fi-weekly, a personalized once a week written newsletter from Brad sharing a challenge, something that he's working through, updates in the FI community, goes out once a week. At the end of each email, he asks you, what is your win this week? We get hundreds of replies, if not approaching 1,000. It's amazing. And we pick a couple of those each week. It is probably Brad dedicates a whole day to this. That's how much joy it brings to his life. And we hope you will be a part of that. MK, how many wins do we have today?
Well, we have two wins today, and the first one is from Corey. So Corey wrote in, last week, after about 2.5 years, I finally caught up on all the episodes of the podcast. Over that time, I've been able to implement so many actionable tips that have set my financial future up for success. Over those 2.5 years, I went from negative net worth to hitting my first 100,000 at the beginning of October. I can't begin to describe how grateful I am for you and everyone at ChooseFi. I am definitely doing quite well.
Oh, that's amazing. 2.5 years to go to from negative net worth to $100,000. And man, it just keeps on compounding from there. So way to go, Corey.
Yeah. And our next winner is Joe. Joe wrote in, my husband and I found ChooseFi and the FI community in January while I was out on maternity leave with our first baby. And 2020 has turned into a huge year of marginal gains. Here's the short list. Refinanced our mortgage, getting a better rate, and eliminated PMI, saving $300 a month. canceled subscriptions we weren't using, savings of $120 a month, lowered our cable, cell phone, and car insurance bills, savings of $170 a month, enrolled in Sophia.org courses for all of my remaining electives and my bachelor's program, a one-time savings of $5,500 between tuition and books, was promoted at work and negotiated for a substantial raise, an increase of income by over $10,000 a year, will max out my 403b for the first time ever and open a brokerage account outside of our retirement accounts to ensure we have money to draw from when we fire in 9 years. Our focus has recently shifted to our health, and I've lost 70 pounds and my husband has lost 40 pounds. Oh. Wow. Wins on wins on wins, Joe. That's amazing. And if you notice that is all with a new baby. So for everybody who says that you can't have FI with children or babies, Joe's proven you wrong.
Oh my goodness.
That is remarkable. What a list. That is one heck of a year. Congratulations, Joe, and your entire family.
I love how they teed that up. I actually have something. I've been saving it for this show. I'll have to like privatize all this information, checking account, et cetera. But what I have here, you guys know, I actually put a bet in with myself via Healthy Wage. I said, Healthy Wage, it's a company that like allows you to set a weight loss challenge bet with yourself. I will lose, I think it was like 20 pounds. I will lose 20 pounds. I will lose and I will keep it off 6 months from now. I have in my hands the winning check. I want it. It just showed up today. The balance on this check, I'm expecting over $2,400. I'm going to open it right now for a YouTube audience only. You're the only ones that are going to get to appreciate this. I've been saving it. I wanted to.
Yep. You are actually opening this.
I'm really opening it. Taking my time. They didn't make it easy, but I appreciate the security they offer. Oh, I just ripped part of the check. That wasn't mine. All right, here we go. I have to cover out the account number. There it is. Oh, they took some fees for processing. $2,419, so $2,419.67, courtesy of Healthy Wage. This is more than 1% improvement right here. That is, that's fantastic. Right here, you saw the check. And you know what? The winning part already happened with just the weight loss, but it doesn't hurt. $2,400 doesn't hurt. If you're interested in setting a bet with yourself, this was the big thing. You're like, you know what? Screw it. I'm doing it. They are an affiliate of ours. Just go to chooseify.com/healthywage for more information. But like, the check's real. And you can make a bet that you know you won't lose if you're willing to lean in and say, this is my hill. This is my challenge. This is what I'm focusing my 1% on for the next 6 months, next 3 months, next the rest of your life. You've got this. All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.